Hello, Mustang fans, and welcome to another Ford Performance Edition of the Mustang Owners Podcast. I'm your host, John Clore. Even from way back in my days with Auto Week magazine, to my years with the Ford Special Vehicle Team, my decade at Ford Racing, and now managing enthusiast outreach for Ford Performance, I've always worked to build relationships with Ford fans. So to that end, I hope you are reading my efforts to stay connected with you in the enthusiast section of FordPerformance.com, as well as keeping up with the latest happenings in our hobby by checking out FordPerformanceClubConnect.com every week. My co-host is a Mustang hobby and industry expert who is perhaps best known as the longtime president of the Mustang Owners Club of Southeastern Michigan, or MOXM, one of the largest and most active Mustang clubs on the continent, plus who also heads up BOXM for you Bronco owners, as well as being the new leader behind the International Council of Mustang Clubs. Of course, I could only be talking about Mike Ray. Mike, tonight we've done it again, another special MOXM member guest.
Yeah, and one of the Ford legends, right? And also he's got a couple great cars in his collection that we're going to talk about tonight.
Well, absolutely. He's got a great story, too, because, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to be talking to a Ford engineer who played a very special role on the SN95 Mustang, and we're going to learn all about this fantastic story, how he made this car a better car in a fourth generation of their beloved Mustang. Please welcome fellow MOXM member Clyde Atkinson. Clyde, welcome to our podcast.
Well, hello, guys.
Clyde, I know that you're going to say a few words about the lovely car we all have fallen in love with, but we have fallen in love with having you as a member and having you coming up to me at a recent meeting and talking about your car after seeing a very similar car being featured in an upcoming feature on Motor Trend magazine about the S650 Mustang. I didn't realize that your car was so rare and that your role at Ford back when you were working, I believe, with Lincoln, had changed immensely and changed the path of the way Mustang convertibles were built. Why don't you tell us a little bit about when Clyde Atkinson was over at the Lincoln program and got a call to go over to the Mustang program. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're talking, we're going to go back in history a little bit here. Around 1993, I was a structural engineer on the Lincoln, working on the Lincoln 1996 Lincoln, and the challenge was a unicide. Chrysler was doing unicides before Ford, and that means the A pillar, the B pillar, the C pillar, the rocker panel, the roof rails, and the quarter panel were in one stamping.
Wow!
Huge press. It was quite challenging. We're eliminating six or seven parts by making this one stamping. And I was really enjoying this program and working with MSO. And if Ford was buying new and creating new stamping, these presses were rare, the size of them. And anyhow, all of a sudden I get called into my manager's office, and I'm being transferred to the Mustang program. I said, what? I'm a family guy. I'm a station wagon guy. I don't know anything about Stangs other than the fact that they're a great seller. He says, well, pack your boxes and move across the aisle. They're waiting for you. So off I go. The next morning, they got a desk all ready for me, and everybody's coming over shaking my hand. Big smiles on her face and wanting to buy me coffee. I knew a couple of the guys. What's going on? You all are too friendly. He says, because the 13 of us were worried that we might get the convertible assignment. You got it. You're the stucky. Oh, no. New things have to happen.
Yeah.
And with the SN95, It's a major refreshening. And the way we do the convertible is barbaric. And we got to bring you up to speed.
Well, so, you know, Clyde, let's tell people about that. I don't think a lot of people realize that, you know, the Fox body was stamped out at the assembly plant, and you would take a coupe, I believe, and send the coupe over to a shop where they had to cut them to make convertibles. Actually, it was like a conversion.
Right? Cars and Concept, mm-hmm. 96 west of Howell, I believe it was, they were doing some of them. They weren't doing all of them. The assembly plant at the Rouge were pulling an average of 5 body shells off the line in their own special crew, cutting the top off of the coupe at the C-pillar and the header, and adding a whole bunch of, I'm calling them trinket parts, to create the structure on the inner quarter inner panel and the huge oval drain trough that has to be, you know, the cloth goes down into the car. Well, so does rain and bugs and dirt. So you have to have a drain trough in there. So a convertible conversion is really quite a complicated adaptation.
So right. And this time they wanted you to, since you're making an all new body now, a lot of people think the Fox 4 platform, the highly modified Fox body platform, went under Bud McGaldy's car for the 94, but you've got an all new body. So this was a chance, since you were changing the chassis, the structural part of the Fox 4 chassis, you had a chance to say, okay, now I've got to engineer in the convertible structure to stamp this right at the factory and not have to send it out. That, Clyde, had to be one heck of a challenge.
It was. In fact, we weren't the only ones building convertibles. The Camaros and the Chrysler, the Chrysler convertible that was very popular.
The LeBaron.
LeBaron, yes. We found out that they were shipping all of their convertible LeBarons out to Cars and Concept. So we went out there, a team of us, to see exactly what they were doing. And we sort of had to sneak in. We convinced their management that we wanted to increase and give them more business. So they sort of opened the doors, let us watch what they're doing to the LeBaron. They were actually pulling LeBaron body shells onto a surface plate, locking the front end of the chassis and the rear end of the chassis with a T-bar hydraulic piston that caught the rocker pedals, came up out of the floor, and actually pushed the center of the body up an inch and a half. While the body was up in this arc, they welded all kinds of reinforcements to the rocker assemblies and the undercarriage. They released the bar, and it came down about an inch, but that your eyeball couldn't see it. But the car now was under tension, mm-hmm. and stiffer than just a coupe with the top cut off. Yeah. You know, people don't understand that the roof system of a vehicle is a structural part of the entire body shell, like mm-hmm. the arch of the bridge with the cables hanging down. Mm-hmm. The roof supports and rigidizes the entire vehicle. With that roof chopped off, without the proper understructure, you've got a twisty buckboard.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people out there, and you know, I was telling you about this before we got on the air. We, you know, a lot of people are putting up with flex in the body, and a lot of Fox body guys, you know, they realize the car's got a little bit of flex in it. And Mike Ray, we're not saying anything about you because you do own that very low build number blue Fox body convertible. But Mike, you have to admit that when you go driving it on Detroit's, what we call them, buckboard roads, the Fox has got a little more flex in it than most other cars. Now, Mike, have you noticed that?
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing of the flex, the first time we went out to MIS, someone had a Fox convertible and they were running it and literally bent the frame from running it on the track.
Really?
Wow. Yep. Yep. and he was not happy about that, but he was warned.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's an older car. So Clyde had to say, okay, we got Fox 4 chassis, which is a highly modified Fox chassis, and we have an all new body. So now, Clyde, you don't, the goal was, don't send any of these out to create a stamping that would be strictly for the convertible. And was were those pieces already included on all chassis, or were the chassis under the convertibles custom made for convertible?
Here's the program. Management told me that the convertible body shell was to be built in the body shop, and it was to be known that it was going to be a convertible when the first floor pan went into the automatic welders.
Wow.
So it was dedicated. It was never to be pulled offline for any special work. Hmm. So I stood over. I went over the Rouge plant. I got a cold feeling. They didn't really appreciate engineering being over there. We were considered enemies. We always engineered stuff they couldn't put together. That was their attitude. So it took a few coffee breaks and donuts to warm them up that I was there for the new vehicle, the SC95, and I needed to know what their problems were so I could help them solve that assembly problem.
Okay. And so you watched the whole thing happen. Did you have certain parameters you had to hit from a Fox body versus an SN95? Were there torsional? What did you use as your benchmark?
Well, good thing you asked me that. But let me first, before we go there, what they had to do was add almost 18 separate little pieces of metal. Well, they were welding this subpart together and then adding it into this coupe body that's been chopped up. So the assembly plants hated this. It slowed everything down, had special guys on the side. So when they discovered I was there to help them, all of a sudden I was welcomed, and the next day I was greeted with smiles. Now, the point you brought up, you're going to enjoy this one. My exec told me, Clyde, I want you to report to Building 4 tomorrow morning. We have rented 3 European convertibles, Honda, an Audi, and a Subaru. I said, what are we doing? He says, they're over there in the test lab. You go over there, they're waiting for you. They're putting them those bodies. We want to know why the European vehicles are coming back out of the market and they're handling great and they're stiff. What are they doing? And can we get there with our Mustang? Hmm. I said, okay. So off I went, and I was greeted. It was a new building, sort of new, Building 4.
Yeah.
It was all test equipment. And I met the team that had it was a Honda stripped out, brand new Honda convertible stripped out. Everything was the interior, the drivetrain, everything was on the floor. And they had this thing in this huge hydraulic machine attached to the two points at the front, the A-arms, and at the back bumper. And they put it through twisting, bending, compression program. And these guys had a program set, so they knew what they were doing. I had never been through this before, never seen this, how they treat and test our competition as well as our own vehicle for stiffness.
Well, that, you know, we needed it, but the bottom line was, for us, for owners of the SN95, to have a convertible built in the factory as a convertible, you know, if you can pull this off, the idea was, I think in the long run, it's fewer steps, fewer welds, a better car, and a better driving experience. So, I mean, did you have any roadblocks along the way when you were trying to get this engineered?
Well, you said it. That was exactly my assignment. And I knew right away I was going to have to add weight. Adding weight is cost as well. And I went back to management and I said, we're not going to get this for free. They said, because the marketing people, every program we put out has a target cost, a target weight. I says, I'm going to have to violate what the Mustang program is all about, the SN95 program. He says, we already have made compensation for you to work with some extra money and add extra weight. We know what we have to do something so the convertible can be built on this regular assembly line with its own parts. So, and now I had the data from building four. I knew the stiffness we had to come up with. We twisted what were 93 Mustang. So I knew we were loosey-goosey, and I could see where I was going to have to put some beef in the product. And to make a long story short, I had to beef up the rocker panel assemblies. You guys are car guys. The rocker panel assembly runs from the front torque box to the rear wheel torque box. The outer area of the rocker panel, of course, is visible under your door. I had that box section. I had to pump it up to almost 2 millimeters thick, double side galvanized with some inner bulkheads. And after about a year went by, we finally were able to build three prototypes, handmade. And of all places, you guys remember the old Continental plant on Oakwood in 94?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that laid dormant for years. Ford wasn't using it at all. All of a sudden, body and assembly people wanted to do some preliminary prototype building themselves. So they wanted more input up front instead of just engineering dictating what they're going to build in their factories. They wanted some input, and that's the way they wanted to do it. Because we were building prototypes in body engineering building, PDL, and we thought that was great. But so we built three Mustang prototypes with my undercarriage structure and the quarter inner panel. In other words, that's the panel. If you take your rear seat cushion out and the armrest panel, mm-hmm. behind that panel is called the quarter inner panel. It has a support, the hydraulic system that lifts and lowers the top.
Right.
It also has, now get this, people don't think about this, but convertibles have a power drop quarter window.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's so cool, watching that quarter window go down in my convertible. So
yeah, that's right. Oh, Clyde. So you guys, I got to tell you, the whole SN95 story is quite remarkable. I mean, John Coletti, that whole team, Alex Trotman coming in and letting you guys go after that car. Bless your souls for not killing Mustang, because I think a lot of people don't understand. We're going to try to have Mike. You swear to God, we're going to get John Coletti on to talk about this. But
man, I hope so.
He's the man that really helped save. I mean, with Trotman's blessing, yes. Who was it? Like, you had Mike Wilbody and Mike Zevelkink and those guys, and was it Dombrowski that was helping you guys out?
Yeah, Ken Dombrowski.
Ken Dombrowski, yeah.
He was actually the guy I worked downstream from. I refused a management position. I wanted to be on the floor being a problem solver, and I accomplished that. It got me flying around the country to different stamping plants and assembly plants to solve problems. So I enjoyed that position.
Well, you guys, I got to tell you, that whole story of how you brought that car together, we've had Bud McGaldy come on. We have another Moxa member is Emmeline King. You've got to meet her, I believe.
Oh, my goodness, you mentioned a guy I forgot. Yes, McGaldy.
He what a job you guys did on that car, and the people that today, Mike, you still consider, maybe I'm wrong on this now, that the SN95 is now the entry level for most young people to get into the hobby, or has it moved to S197?
No, I well, actually both of them, but the SN95 I think is, like you said, the number one, with S197 being the second backup, as Fox bodies now have just went through the roof. So yeah, they're becoming unattainable for the younger generation now. So yeah, SN95s with S197 as a close second behind is the entry level to get them into the Mustang hobby and to start enjoying what we offer.
Well, look at Mike, that company, American Muscle.
Yep.
It's pretty much that company was built on SN95.
Right.
I mean, that's what people, they buy these cars that Clyde helped put together. And I mean, the convertible is the one to have. You know, at SVT, we were lucky enough to have that car replace the 93 Fox, because it served the Cobra really well. And Clyde, when we found out that you, what made you say, if I'm going to buy one of my cars, I'm going to buy you have a 96 orange convertible?
Well, I sort of always was in a color thing, regardless of what product line. I enjoy the new, exciting colors, and our paint department guys in the styling room, they come up with spring things just to, so a dealer can put something flashy in the spring to motivate people. And that's sort of like the bright tangerine that they did only in 1996.
That's right.
And that caught my eye when I saw one, and I was able to put my hands on and buy it. But let me mention one thing back at the assembly plant. I actually ended up eliminating 10 loose little parts that they had to put together to create the convertible. And they loved what I did. And we took the Mustang, the first three prototypes. We took one over the test track. I did not know anyone at the test track. And they told me to take the car over there, give it to so-and-so and so. And he had called me back the next day and said, "Hey, Mr. Atkinson, you're not going to be taking this. We're not going to be giving this car back to you to make it a department pool car. We bust them up. You're going to get an address in the boneyard where the junk, your convertible junk is laying. The convertible has never left the test track." So he's pounding salt.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Three weeks later, this mystery voice calls me. "Atkinson, come and get this convertible out of here. It's in our way." I says, "Come on. Is it drivable?" "My guys love it." He says, "We couldn't break it up. It's do whatever you did to it. Do it to the coupe." I says, no. "The coupe is untouchable. Weight and cost is locked."
Yeah.
He says, "Well,
yeah.
I love your Mustang convertible."
Oh, good. That's so cool.
John, you know what? Speaking of SN95s, you know, if you think about it, all the aftermarket companies and all that all started to explode around SN95. You know, and especially like the aftermarket companies too, like Roush, Steeda, Celine, and all them. Some of them played a little bit with the Fox bodies, but really went full force when SN95 hit the market.
Yeah, and I remember the launch because I went to the SN95 launch not as a member of Ford but as a member of Auto Week staff, and I remember talking to, I think it was Will Boddy, and a lot of the journalists thought your SN95 boys would have the mod motor in it, Clyde, and we didn't. When we saw the 5-liter was back into the SN95, we thought, well, we all heard about this mod motor coming along, and where's you got a 5-liter that we had in the Fox body. And, you know, they were pretty adamant. You know, we knew the engine program was late. But, Mike, I think by having the 5-liter in there those first couple of years, that actually helped the car and made the transition to the new car, because a lot of those aftermarket companies, they knew the 5-liter inside and out. And guys like Celine and Roush, oh, yeah.
But that's when they started actually doing production. I know Roush's first one was 95, and I know Steeda really started getting into the suspension game and all that stuff with SN95. You know, like I said, they dabbled a little bit with the Fox body, but SN95 is when all that took off, actually the Mustang aftermarket world took off with SN95.
Absolutely. And Clyde, you shouldn't discount. I mean, I know you were having fun with those Lincolns, but touching the Mustang and making these great SN95 convertibles for all of us who have these cars to enjoy today. A lot of these guys that worked on the program, unlike you, Clyde, they never went out and bought themselves one of those cars. You know, what I like about you is two things. You turned down a management position to stay connected with what you love to do, which is build cars. And the second thing is you bought what you made, and you to this day, Mike, do we have any other tangerine SN95s in Moxham?
At least Semler is the only one other one I know. Right, Ron and Helena.
Out of New Jersey.
Yep. Yeah.
So, well, Clyde, remember you came up to me and said, "Who is this guy with the orange one?"
They're Moxham members.
Right.
Well, let me say did I tell you that I stumbled across this convertible just 2 years ago in Arizona. I was going to buy a Cobra. I wanted a triple white 1998 Cobra convertible. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across the tangerine. I lost my breath trying to dial the number. It was at a dealership near Vegas, but on the Arizona side of the borderline. And he said, "Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we think we got it. It's going to go to auction probably." I said, "No, it's not." I made an offer. I said, what do you want for that piece of junk? He says, $8,500. I said, it's sold. I lost my breath trying to get a deposit on it.
But, well, it's beautiful. And maybe we should invite everybody who wants to see it. Clyde, are you going to bring it to Mustang Memories at World Headquarters this year?
It's been to several shows last year. But I had to do some things to it. One nice thing, though, the guy had put some aftermarket tail lamps on it and headlamps, and it had some Boogaloo wheels on it, too. So I had to do need a new top. Uh-huh. But let me tell you this, though. But all my grandkids, they want it, and they said, well, what else Grandpa gonna do? And I says, nothing. I didn't really have to do anything to it, just a little dust, open the hood and blow off some Arizona dust. Because the previous owner, it only had one owner.
Wow.
He kept it, garage kept it, thank goodness, so the Arizona's sun didn't deteriorate it. And so it was well maintained. So it was easy to convert and bring it up to show standards. And did we mention the fact that the group of tangerine Mustangs, most of them had a black leather interior, like 150 right. of them were made.
Right.
They made 29 with white leather interior.
Wow.
And I've got number 27.
Wow. Mike, how we are blessed not only to have one of our Mustang heroes, an engineer that made a difference in the Ford Mustang program, but have such a cool car and to bring it to our shows.
Well, absolutely.
Before you let me go, let me say one more thing about the SN95, because I've noticed in all the car shows I've been at, the SN95s have not really caught on as treasured Mustang collectors yet. And you can get good ones for a reasonable price out there yet. But what's unique about the SN95, the 94 to the 98 series, is the body side sheet metal. The body side sheet metal is Coke bottle shaped. It's narrower at the driver's door than the front fender and the rear quarter panel.
Hmm. Wow.
Next time, look down the side of an SN95, you'll see what I'm saying. And most of our cars we're doing now, and the 2000 SN95 version, they straight lined it.
Yeah,
the quarter of the car is the same width at the front as it is at the back quarter. So I'm now totally hooked on this Coke bottle shaped Mustang.
And we're so glad you touched it. Without you, Clyde, and the guys in that program, you know, we're gonna. Mike and I will delve more into not only its predecessor, the Fox body. Mike, you've got a couple of people coming up, but let's keep exploring this wonderful story behind the SN95. And Clyde, thank you for all your contributions at Ford. And I'm looking forward, Mike, to seeing this at Memories this year, aren't you?
Absolutely. I love those cars.
Well, okay. You're not going to trade in your Fox body, Mike?
Not yet. But yeah, him and Ron having them, it'd be cool if Ron brought his two and parked them together. I don't know when anybody would have seen two together in a row.
Yeah, not with 27.
No, not at all.
A good car show is the Mustang Stampede in August, earlier mm-hmm. August, at Mackinac City.
Oh, that's in July. Yep. The July, the Stampede in Mackinac.
Yes, July.
I've never been there. Mike, have you been to that show?
I have not. We helped organize the first one, and it's really taken off, and I think it's on its 10th or 11th year already.
Well, I didn't go last year. There was a lot of issues for last year, but year before, we had a darn good show of Moxa members up there.
Yeah, we helped them create that event, Clyde. When they were thinking about doing that event, they came to our overnight session that we have once a year. It's a summit, we call it now, and we helped them plan and told them how to run and organize a show, and we helped them through and walked them through the first year, and so they've just been doing great since.
Now, for our listeners who have not familiar with that part of Michigan, it's at the very tip of the Mitten, and right across the Straits of Mackinac is the Upper Peninsula. The Youpers live up there. A lot of people call it Michigan 2 or Wisconsin 2, but that's a beautiful part of the country, a great place to have a show, especially right up along Mackinac City. What a beautiful place.
Mackinac City is a great town for families. It's just, I enjoy just sitting watching people in town.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, Mike, I just believe that we've got the greatest stories to tell with all the Ford people that have made so many contributions to the car. That's why, you know, Mustang is really by itself. Nothing against our Lincoln listeners, but we're glad we stole Clyde Atkinson because Clyde is now one of us.
Yeah, part of Mustang history for sure.
Yeah. Clyde, we want to thank you for joining us tonight, spending your time talking about your wonderful story. We look forward to seeing your car shows, and we really appreciate your contribution to the Mustang lore.
Okay, guys. Fun talking.
Very much so. Mike, thanks again for bringing another Moxham member into the spotlight, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. So until next time, we'll just have to catch you down the road.